Every story starts with a mom. This is one of those videos that makes you feel. Because it deals with a topic that has incredible feelings attached to it, motherhood. There is a transition that a woman goes through when she becomes a mom. A lot of practical stuff, but probably the deepest is the emotional stuff, those deep emotions, good or bad, high or low, challenging or celebrative. Because moms want the best for their kids, and moms work hard to make sure that best happens. And when it happens, it's incredible. It's vicarious. You feel it almost as much as your children. And when it doesn't happen, it's vicarious and can be super challenging and disappointing. There's a lot we could talk about motherhood, but what I want to talk about this morning is basically an encouragement in an area that is super challenging for every mother, and is the challenge of feelings, those emotions, and how to manage those. I've entitled this morning's message, Challenge, How to Manage the Feelings of Being a Mom. Because I believe if we can manage those properly, and we get our arms around a little bit, then we can actually mother properly. But if we don't, and don't kind of understand, number one, where they came from and how to deal with them, then we're at a loss. And so I hope no matter where you are this morning in your mothering, whether you're a grandma, whether you have adult children, or whether you're a new mom, those feelings are deep, and they never leave. They never leave. Even though your kids may leave, they don't leave. And so what do we do with that? And so I hope this morning is an encouragement. Now, we're going to be looking at a mom that had a tremendous challenge. A mom that struggled and felt the pain of infertility. A mom that felt the pain of insecurity, disappointment, comparisons. A mom that felt the disappointment when there was no options. And yet, she made it in a way that was profound and amazing. Her name is Hannah. And to give you an idea, we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 1, the whole chapter. So it's a story we're going to be working through, just kind of skimming through it. But if you don't know the story of Hannah, it really goes back to the time in Israel's history when there was 12 tribes, and each tribe had a leader, and the leader, they were called judges. So it was the time of the judges. And it was a very chaotic time. It was a very chaotic time relationally, financially, politically. In fact, if you read in Judges 17:6, it says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. So anarchy was reigning. And yet this prophet, this priest, this judge, Samuel, was born during that time, and he actually became the first to establish the first king of Israel, Saul, and then the second king of Israel, David. His mother is Hannah. So that gives us the context, that gives us the climate. And Samuel was her first child. So let's pick up the story. There's a few names here. Forgive me if I don't pronounce them right. They're not here to defend themselves, so we'll just have to go with it. I'll do my best. You may say, that's not how you pronounce it, but, you know, whatever. It's okay. So, here we go. There was a certain man of Ramathion, Ziphim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tuhu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. There's a problem. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Okay, so you can already picture, well, maybe you can't, but it's easy to picture if you come from that context, the problem. Okay, Elkanah, we got his picture. He's got two wives. He's got Hannah, who has no children, and he's got Peninnah, who has multiple children. Okay, now, Infertility is a struggle, for sure. And every Mother's Day it triggers and can trigger deep pain. And it's personal pain because the desire of a woman wanting to become a mom and they can't become a mom, that's super deep. In the culture, it's beyond personal. This is practical pain. This is cultural pain because the most important thing a wife could give her husband was a child. Not emotionally, practically, for lineage, for history, their clans of people, for future finances, that kind of thing. So it looks like Elkanah has two wives, and it's probably, he probably married Hannah first. Hannah couldn't have children, so because culturally he needs children to move forward, he marries Peninnah. Okay? So clearly Hannah would be falling short, and Peninnah would be success by cultural definitions. Now, we're talking about Elkanah. Now, this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. One day, when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her through the Lord, though the Lord had closed her womb. So even though she was infertile, he had a deep love for her. We don't hear that kind of discussion when it comes to Peninnah. So it's probably more practical, like I said. Even to the point where they would go up and sacrifice for the Lord and he'd give the portions for each person in the family to sacrifice, he'd give a double portion to Hannah. So that highlighting that support, that love connection, which may have caused some jealousy, as you'll see in a second. In verse 6, and her, Hannah's, we're talking about, rival, Peninnah, used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. So you got this battle. And one was probably jealous of the other. And so you got this provoking going on, this kind of abusive behavior. And it was in the house of the Lord, which is the tabernacle at the time. And so, and it looks like Hannah took it hard. She was weeping and she wasn't eating. Now, arguably, she was depressed. She probably wasn't sleeping either. It was deep because culturally it was deep and personally it was deep. This is unbelievable. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? Why is your heart so sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Now, can you spell clueless here? Because Elkanah obviously isn't tracking with his wife's feelings. There are certain things you say and certain things you don't say to women. I could give examples, but I think you would understand what they would be. I'm not even gonna go there. Let's just say this is a winner. This guy, what, I'm not good enough for you? Who needs kids? You know, that kind of thing. So he didn't get it. And so verse 9, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. And now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if you would indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And no razor shall touch his head, relating to a Nazarite vow. And she continued praying before the Lord. So here's a woman that is pushed to the edge of mom feelings. She's overwhelmed, she's pressured, she's brokenhearted, she's depressed. Yet how does she handle the challenge? It says it twice. She prays. Super important. When we talk about managing the feelings of being a mom, the best way you can manage your feelings is number one in your outline, take your struggles to the Lord. Take your struggles to the Lord. When you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling insecure, when you're feeling discouraged, when you're feeling distressed, when you're feeling helpless, pray. Even though Hannah wasn't a mom yet, she was dealing with the mom feelings. She was dealing with the mom stuff. And God has never intended you, mom, to do mom on your own. You're stepping into a divine role that he created, going all the way back to Genesis. Scripture says that he knits together the child in your womb. It's a gift from the Lord. He's part of it from the very beginning. The things that mom need to remember is keep him part of it. Because the temptation to be, when you're having these kinds of emotional, deep feelings, is try to figure it out, work it out, struggle it out, medicate it out, whatever it is. And ultimately, the balance won't be there. Because God can meet us in, I love Philippians 4 because it's a great mom verse. Usually not applied to motherhood, but I think it applies directly to motherhood. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, how much do our kids make us anxious? Everything. So don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, there it is, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So pray. When you got these feelings, and what happens? And the peace of God, not your peace, not worldly peace, not situational peace, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. I love that part. In Christ Jesus. In other words, God will respond, and he promises to respond to your prayer. It doesn't mean he's going to answer exactly what you ask, but he will show up, and he will show up in a way that will provide peace. What a great feeling when you're dealing with those deep feelings of struggle and all that, to have a peace like just flood over your soul, to have that gift from God, supernatural gift. It's available. Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my children, my child. There's always a one, right? I don't know what to do. Well, James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him pray. Ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to you. That's why we're up here, and we're praying for wisdom for the parents, specifically for moms, to be able to guide and direct each child that is uniquely different. Have you noticed there's no manual out there that comes with your child? Right? Things aren't working properly. You just can't go to page 3, frequently asked questions. But God's got the manual. And he's willing to give you insight and understanding. We pray for the children, but it isn't one and done. It shouldn't be one and done. Daily. When the feelings and the pain of infertility hit, pray. When the deep emotions of overwhelming with a toddler hit, pray. When the struggle of a teen or frustration or hurt because of underappreciated, pray. When the home is empty and the children have moved on, keep praying. That's the unique thing, is God so puts deep in mothers this feeling, it never ends until your heartbeat stops. It doesn't matter what phase your kid is in. It doesn't matter if you're 80 and they're 50. There's still that there. God put it there. It's the transition. The question is, how do you manage it? And that's the encouragement that we see. Because the reality is, and it's my life verse, Ephesians 3:20, God can do immeasurably more than even you can ask or imagine. Because we limit our imagination, especially when it comes to difficult things. And we like to put those periods there. oh no, it's never going to work out. No, comma. But the prayer. Hannah was a praying woman. And look what happened. When Hannah was praying, the text says in verse 12, Eli observed, he's the priest, remember? Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. These guys need a little wisdom pill here. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. I've been emptying myself. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I've been speaking out of my great anxiety. There it is, and vexation. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. And look at this. Then the woman went away up and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She got her strength back. She got her appetite back. By what? Praying. Verse 19, they rose early in the morning. They, meaning the family, the Hannah and Elkanah and Peninnah. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and then they went back to their house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. That's code for having sex with her. He knew her. And the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. That's what Samuel means in the Hebrew. God has heard me. Hannah's struggle is over. Amen and amen. Or is it? Let's keep reading. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems to be best. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed him until she weaned him. In those days, based on that culture, that was about 3 years. Verse 24, and when she had weaned him 3 years later, she took him up with her along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. Those are sacrificial things that are being made. And the child was young, 3 years old. And then they slaughtered the bull, which is a big sacrifice, not rams and goats, a bull. And they brought the child to Eli, the priest, remember? And he said, oh, my Lord, as you live, may my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Lent, that's just another way of saying devoted. I have devoted him to the Lord. So here we got a picture of a woman who had deep pain over infertility to the point of depression. And then God opened her womb and she had a child. Best day of her life. And 3 years later, she's handing him back. Wow. It's hard enough to have your adult children leave your home, which is normal. And, you know, you don't want them staying there till they're 60 years old in the basement playing video games, right? I mean, that's kind of right. So it's normal, but it's hard to say goodbye to your kids. Hello, at 3 years old? What was this? She understood something. She understood something that was very important. She knew her kids were not her own. She understood the gift piece, but she also understood the ownership piece. These kids were on loan for her to mold, or this child was on hold for her to mold and shape and guide and direct and protect and love. But ultimately, they were God's. She was called to train them to follow God because God is the ultimate parent. So when we talk about how to manage the feelings of being a mom, number two on your outline, keep committing your children to the Lord. Keep committing your children to the Lord. Keep dedicating them to the Lord. Not one and done on a platform and that's it. That's a great start. But dedicate them daily. Commit them daily. Because God is the ultimate parent. His parents were guardians. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." From who? The Lord. "The fruit of the womb, a reward." And look at this metaphor. "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children of one's youth." So the metaphor is moms, dads, but moms, because we're talking about moms today. God has given you a child like an arrow. What do you do with an arrow? You put it, you pull back, and then you're done. No, you let it go. And that's really what motherhood is about. Directing, guiding, letting go. How does that feel? Ooh, it feels. It's scary. It's uncertain. It's unnerving. Oh, if it all works out, great. Woo-hoo. But if it doesn't, which usually it doesn't, always, then what? Then that's when the commitment comes into place. That's when the application comes into place. That's when we feel like we're at the end of the pool and God's going, just jump in, like we do with our kids. Just come on. And the kids, we're like, come on, I'm here. And God's going, come on, I'm here. I know where your child is. I gave them the number of hairs on their head. I know their fingerprint. I created it. Trust me. Commit them to me. And so when we talk about committing I just think of, go back. How do you think Abraham felt with Isaac? Talk about jumping off the end of a pool. How do you think Jochebed felt about Moses putting him in the basket? How do you think Mary felt about Jesus? Those are deep mom moments. You know, we look at Jesus on the cross, and we look at all that's going on, and we look at the thief, and this thief, and that thief, and we look at the leaders going by the cross, and let him take himself down, and all that. We forget mom is there. Whew. I mean, you think at that moment she needs to know that he's God's? Otherwise, you go nuts. Right? And so when we talk about committing our children to the Lord, it's kind of, what does that mean? I would suggest that this takes place when you're praying. When you're praying for your children. Lord, help my son Bill to not be tempted by the other children on the playground. But Lord, Bill is your child. And I know you can do that. So you just reminded yourself whose kid it ultimately is. And God, I pray for my daughter who's interviewing now at a job back east. And Lord, you know, it'll really work for the family and their kids. But she's your daughter. She's your child. And I know you can open, close the doors according to your will. See, that is the committing piece. That's what it looks like to commit our kids to the Lord, is constantly be reminded and constantly stepping into that place of, oh, they're God's. They're God's. I'm a guardian. Oh, I'm a guardian that feels it. This isn't an orphanage and I'm just running the orphanage. No, this is deep. But this is how we manage. This is how we keep our feelings in check. And then when I look at this story, a beautiful story, really. There's so many nuances to it that we don't have time to get into. But the future of the nation of Israel was changed by this story, by a woman who prayed and a woman who committed her child to the Lord. It was changed forever. It wasn't easy. A lot of challenges, as you saw, a lot of difficulties. But God gave her success because she stepped into prayer and release in committing. And that's what God wants for every mom. You have an amazing role, but it also has amazing emotional challenges that are unique to motherhood. But God knows it, and He'll meet you in it. So I just want to give you that word of encouragement that no matter where you're at in your motherhood this morning, online, in person, God knows where you're at. And He's looking to you to look to Him. And when you do that, some of those emotions, it's going to be emotional today on Mother's Day. There's going to be expectations that aren't met at the gathering. There's going to be somebody that forgets that hurts. It's just life. And it's going to go ding. And everybody else at the table will be going, what? Yeah, they're going to be late. You're like, well, if they loved me, they would be there. Because I, you know, raised them their whole life, and you're off to the races, right? I mean, there you go. And that's when you pray. So, I want to conclude our time together by stepping into point one. I want to pray for every mom here this morning. So if you're a mom, please stand. If you're a grandma, please stand. If you're a mom-to-be, please stand. And I would argue you're a mom currently. And if you want to be a mom, stand. Anything related to motherhood, stand up, okay? First of all, I want to give you a hand. Second of all, I just want to pray. Lord, as we just look in, every person that's standing is a story of a mom. And now the ones standing either are moms, want to be moms, or will be moms, and stepping into that deep feeling, that deep connection that was created by you. And I just pray for their emotions today. Lord, I pray that today would be not just a great day because it's a happy day, but it's just a balanced day because it's connected with you. And if there are anxious thoughts, if there are fears, if there are unresolves, that you would replace those feelings with feelings of peace. I just claim Philippians 4, the peace that passes understanding because it's a divine gift. It just can flood into our souls. And I pray for that type of flooding to take place. Lord, I pray for the moms that are standing that wish they were moms but aren't yet and are struggling. I pray for your peace to flood their hearts. And Lord, in your timing, in your way, please reveal what that should look like and will look like for them. Prompt them to talk to you, to grow deeper. And even if it means some of those deeper Hannah places, Lord, we know that that's where you resolve the most powerfully. And for the rest, Lord, that are moms, that are active, that are raising children, I just pray for a blessing on them today, that they'd be encouraged with whoever they're gathering with or not gathering with, whatever you provide for them, that they'd see it through the lens of a gift and they would be encouraged. And so, Lord, we recognize motherhood today. It's a gift from you. We recognize our children are gifts, ultimately your kids. And as we journey through it emotionally, may we be guided and directed by you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let's all stand together. We have one last song. God bless you guys. Happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a great afternoon. Thanks for coming.